to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'll be reading the chapter for us again this evening, and then we'll be spending our time in verses 16 through 21 tonight. So we won't quite finish the chapter. Galatians chapter 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We pray as we continue our study in the book of Galatians that your Spirit would keep our hearts and our minds attentive and focused upon your word at this time, and that your Spirit would reveal to us, illuminate the truths in this passage of Scripture in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming it. May only your truth be proclaimed for your glory, for the furthering of your kingdom, for the building of your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How now will you live, you followers of God? What will you choose? In what manner will the fruit of your life be shown? There are a lot of ways to put that question, and it's put a lot of different ways in Scripture. In Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, Joshua asked the people to choose. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 and 21, Elijah the prophet said to the people, we read, so Ahab sent all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. In other words, who is it going to be? Who will be your God? That is the question. In the case of Joshua, this was a time to renew the covenant with the Hebrews. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years for their disobedience. They had followed after other gods. And now as God was bringing them into this land, as God was defeating all of their enemies and now going to bring them peace in this land of milk and honey, they had to make a choice. Who would they serve? God, the one true God. The one who redeemed them from slavery in Egypt and who brought them into this promised land, or will they serve the false gods of the nations? And then in Elijah's day, many of the people again had forsaken the Lord and turned to these foreign gods and idols and to Baal worship in particular. And Elijah tells the people, who is it going to be? Stop messing around. Stop limping between two different opinions. Choose whom you will follow. Who is your God? Is not what we see here in the churches of Galatia? In these churches, will you accept and believe in Jesus Christ by faith alone and in His righteousness alone? Will you be set free from your sins by the forgiveness that is offered to you by your Savior? Or will you embrace the law? The ceremonial law, circumcision, and all that it entails, and forsake the truth about who Jesus Christ is. Do you want to live according to the flesh? Or do you want to live according to the Spirit? That's our question in this letter. And in fact, it's not a question. Those are the only two options. Either freedom or slavery. Either spirit or flesh. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. How will you and I walk this week? How will we walk? By the flesh or by the Spirit? We have a great contrast here to end this chapter in this letter, chapter 5. A great description of the deeds of the flesh and also the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to look at next week. But this is serious business. This is not just a struggle with that sin that we all face. And we're going to look again at Paul describing that battle for us in Romans chapter 7. This, in the churches of Galatia, is now a salvation issue. How will you live? If you choose the wrong one, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. These are eternal stakes. And we're going to look at this section of Scripture here in three verse pieces tonight. And as I mentioned, we're going to wait to discuss the fruit of the Spirit beginning in verse 22 next week as we end out the chapter. So let's look again at the first three verses of this passage tonight, verses 16 through 18. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And notice the language that Paul uses here. Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. There is an aspect with these words here of our trajectory. We desire to live holy and godly lives in righteousness as believers in Jesus Christ. We have been given that indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit to help us in our sanctification, so that we're better able to grow into the image of Christ, so that we're able to stand against and avoid that temptation to sin. And yet we know that we are not yet made perfect. We still struggle with that. But the question often becomes, is it a struggle? Is it a struggle? Are we battling with sin, or are we just giving in to it? Are we working on repenting in those areas of our lives that we know that we struggle with, or are we just embracing our sin? Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're going to look at two different passages, one in chapter 7 and one in chapter 8. So do leave your Bibles open this evening. But Romans 7, we're going to start in verse 14, verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. You see, when we become Christians, we don't automatically become sinless. We don't automatically stop sinning. Yes, we are redeemed. Yes, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are being sanctified. But God is working on us, and it's still a struggle. It's a battle. It's a war to wage against the flesh. The good news is that we're not alone, and God helps us in that struggle that we have with sin, and we can live according to the Spirit of God. And if you look now to chapter 8, Romans 8, 1 through 11, the next chapter, says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Life or death, that's the option. Those who have the Spirit of God will live by the Spirit, and those who do not have God's Spirit will live by the flesh. One is slavery, one is a road that leads to death, and the other leads to life. Do not walk by the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So again I ask, how are we walking in our everyday lives? How are we living? Are we putting ourselves into situations that we know will lead us into sin? Or are we seeking to avoid sin as we walk? And you all know what I'm talking about. The person who says, you know, I can't stop sinning, and yet they keep putting themselves in a situation over and over again, and they expect a different result. Sometimes avoiding sin means avoiding certain situations that may lead you into a sin. Sometimes that means spending time with different people. If your friends are leading you into sin, you need some different friends. And that doesn't mean that we only have Christian friends either. There are those whom we pray for and we long that they would turn to Christ, but there are others that perhaps are influencing us in the wrong way, and we need to spend time with people that will help us to make right choices in life. And yet we can't always avoid every situation. The answer is not to separate ourselves out from the world and again be away from all sinners. The answer is to live by God's Spirit. To seek to live differently than the world lives. To not follow the crowd. To not seek to gratify the desires of the flesh. There is a war that is going on, and the sooner that we realize that, the easier it will be for us to fight. And we are naive if we think that we have the power to resist all temptation that comes our way. If we think that, we are fools. And we're not all tempted by the same sins, are we? What may cause me to sin may not even be a temptation to you at all. We're all different, but we need to be aware of that battle between the flesh and the spirit enough to know how to respond. And as long as that battle is raging, that's a good thing. God has given us His Spirit to help us in that battle. For when there is no battle, that means that we have or we are giving in to the sin around us. In this life, we will always face that struggle against sin. We are not yet fully sanctified. We are being sanctified, but it's still a struggle. So we wage war, and we seek to walk by the Spirit of God. We keep pressing on. Paul writes in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul says there, he says, I'm not yet perfect, but I press on. I strain forward. I seek to move in a godly direction. Or 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I run, Paul says, so I may receive the prize. I press on toward that goal. We seek to stay in this fight with sin as we live our lives. And the one who has the Spirit will be led by the Spirit of God. We are reminded that on our own, we're just prone to sin. Before Christ came into our lives, we were dead in our sins. We cannot save ourselves. And even in our sanctification, we do not confuse our sanctification with the gospel in any way. We know that we don't measure up. We cannot obey the God's law perfectly. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now, wait a minute, Paul. I thought salvation was about joy and peace in Christ and that redemption that we have found. And now you're telling us here that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And this working out of our salvation with fear and trembling is not a works-based righteousness in any way. It states here in this passage, "For it is God who works in you." God works in you. We're to press on and we're to fight the good fight of faith. And part of that faith is the battle that we face with the flesh. Ephesians 4:22 says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." Put off the old self and put on the new. And we see that theme repeated over and over in the New Testament. Or even in Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." We are being renewed. That's good news. We've not arrived yet, but we are being renewed. We are being molded over time into the image of the Son. So we press on in our faith. And next week we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit beginning in verse 22. But we read in Matthew's Gospel in Matthew 7, 16, that we will be able to determine who false prophets are by their fruit. He says, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? or in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, that reminds us that we will, as believers in Christ, we will bear fruit in keeping with our repentance. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now we've talked about the battle. This battle between the flesh and the spirit, and how we as believers in Christ were engaged in this battle. Now we turn in this passage to some specific examples of the works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says here that these particular works of the flesh are evident. And we need to be reminded that this is not an exhaustive list of the works of the flesh. This is just a representative list here. There are many more works of the flesh than these, but this is a pretty good list to give us an idea of what types of things to avoid. Now, legalists might look at this list and say to themselves, you know, as long as I avoid those things specifically mentioned here, then I'm good doing anything else that's not mentioned here, because I'm not doing these particular deeds of the flesh. No, these are very broad categories. We could list a lot of different types of sexual immorality, or discuss impurity and what that means in great detail, or just a few of the things that can lead us off into idolatry, but we get the idea. Avoid such things. Being led by the flesh will lead you into these types of works. Do not go down this road. There should be a warning sign there. Do not go there. God has given us more examples in His Word of these types of sins, and we don't need to go and look at all of those. Scripture is pretty clear about the difference between sexual immorality and sexual activity within the confines of marriage. One is a gift of God, and the other is a perversion of that gift. So, which path? Which road, flesh or spirit? And we could do that with each one of these things listed here. And yet there's also an aspect to this list that Paul gives that should be rather concerning to us. He says, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean if we have ever in our entire lives engaged in any types of these sinful behaviors that we are outside the kingdom of God? Or that this here is a list of sins that are somehow unforgivable? Is that what Paul is saying here? If you do any of these things, then you have no hope of salvation. Is that what the Apostle Paul is saying? If that's how we were to judge salvation, none of us have any hope. For to break one commandment is to break them all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one who seeks after God. No one is righteous. The standard is perfection. The standard is holiness. That's why we trust in Christ's righteousness and not in our own. But the question is, do we make a practice of doing these things? Are we resistant to repent when we do sin? Are we striving in our obedience? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Notice what John says here. 1 John 3, starting in verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. You see, there's a vast difference between sinning and then repenting in the Christian life and just practicing sinning. We don't do that. We walk by the Spirit. And so we know that once inside the kingdom of God, once we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, we're not suddenly kicked out of it if we sin. Paul is warning the Galatians here in this letter not to embrace a false gospel. Not to go in a different direction from the path of life. To not gratify the desires of the flesh. To not abandon the truth that has been taught to them. The things that they have heard. And that temptation is there in our lives. We know how much temptation there is in the world. That subtle distractions and the pull of the world. We know how easy it is to compromise in what we may think are little things. Only to find out that's the very thing that leads us in the wrong direction. Beware of the dangers that we have discussed in this letter. Both the dangers within the church as these false prophets have now crept in and have sought to bring the people into bondage and slavery again. And also those outside of the church who would seek to destroy the Word of God. But also as we look at our own lives and the fact that you and I have been given this indwelling gift of God's Spirit, we need to beware that we ourselves don't lead us into sin. God tempts no one, as we read in James chapter 1, but it's our own desires that can lead us astray. That's why we need these reminders in God's Word over and over again in these pages. Those who do such things, practice sinning, will not inherit the kingdom of God. A stern warning, yes. But for those who persist, for those who practice sinning, every week as I fence the Lord's table, before we go into the Lord's table, I warn us about sin that we're not willing to repent of. If there's sin in our lives that we're not willing to give up, we're not willing to work at, we're not willing to engage in that battle, in that struggle against the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit in, that's a problem. But this is not meant here in these verses to suggest that we can lose our salvation in some way by the things we do, any more than we can gain our salvation by the works of the flesh. And that's what's wrong with that idea of circumcision being necessary for salvation. If I can do anything to earn my salvation, I'm going to mess it up. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not a work of man. So you might be thinking to yourself tonight, why does it seem that we're going to be ending here, maybe on what seems like a negative note tonight? Here is a great big list of horrible sins, and you're in this great big battle against the flesh. And oh, by the way, if you do these things, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, so go out and enjoy your week. Why not press on and finish the thought? Get to the fruit of the Spirit that I read about in the last few verses of this chapter and be encouraged by those things. Why stop here? Why stop? First, the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, deserves an entire message on their own. We're going to focus on those next Sunday evening and see the evidence of our faith in Christ and work our way through that list. But second, I don't think that we are ending tonight on a negative thought or a negative note at all. You see, we have seen the contrast between the flesh and the spirit and the battle that we have been called to wage. We are told to walk by the Spirit. I think that's very encouraging. Walk by the Spirit. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, so we can walk by the Spirit. And we need to be reminded every so often of this battle in our lives because we have the tendency to become complacent. And maybe you think to yourself, I don't know that I need to be reminded. I'm reminded of my sin each and every day and the battle with my flesh, but many people are not. Many times it's just easier to give in. And we need those calls to remind us to fight. And we also need the reminder that those who choose the path that leads to destruction will find destruction. And those who choose or the path that leads to life will find life. Not everyone's going in the same direction. For the believer, we know that in Jesus Christ, we have the power to obey. We have the ability that we did not have when we were dead in our sins. So we rejoice, even in the midst of the battle, even in the midst of the conflict that we wage against the flesh. And yes, there are times that I do what I do not want to do, and the thing that I want to do, I do not do. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the victory that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And notice what Paul says there to the church in Galatia. "And such were some of you." Past tense. You used to be like this. You used to walk according to the flesh, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You have been washed clean of your sinfulness in Christ. Do we still sin? Yes, we do. But I continue to pray that we are quick to repent and to focus our hearts back on the Lord. We were sanctified. Not only were we washed clean, but we are being made new. We are being sanctified over time. We are being changed, and we will bear fruit in keeping with our repentance. And we were justified by Christ. We've been forgiven, and we enjoy the salvation that our Savior brings to us. So we need to heed this warning here in Galatians not to sin, or to practice sin, or to wallow in our sins. Those who do so will not inherit the kingdom of God, but we don't leave our focus there. We do take sin seriously, but we are also those who rejoice in our forgiveness. So I ask again, how will you walk this week? According to the Spirit or according to the flesh? Hopefully, mostly by the Spirit, even though we battle with the flesh. Let us seek to walk in newness of life. Will you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you for your Spirit once again. And we know that we still, even as believers in Christ, we do struggle with our sin. We are so often tempted to do the things that we don't want to do. I pray that you would help us in this battle this week, that as we strive to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh, that you would help us to overcome, to resist temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray every week. And we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness that is there when we do sin. that if we confess our sins, your word tells us that you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.